Thank you, baby, for that wonderful, wonderful creative worship that you blessed us with. You know, it's it is true that we can trust Him. It is true that we can put our faith in Him, that we can lean upon Him. Give me a second. Need a bigger pulpit. But that we can lean upon Him, regardless of what it is that's going on in our life. Today is Friends Day 2014 here at Chapel. And as has already been said, we thank you for honoring us and being here today and for coming and worshiping Him with us. Friend. According to the dictionary, friend is a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. Facebook has now become a pain, a time consumer, has become a measuring stick for some people as to their friends. How many friends do you have? Well, I've got, 150. Well, how many do you have? 1,500. Wow. And we've bought into the idea because, unfortunately, some people put all of their business out there that, you know, I'm glad you used the restroom. That's awesome. But you didn't have to tell us. You know, certain things don't need to be put on Facebook. But the idea of friends, unfortunately, the meaning of friend has become loose. I even have checked myself many a time where I'm talking to someone, I'm like, yeah, I have a friend. I'm like, no, let me correct that. I have an acquaintance. I know this individual. We've met before. Maybe even at one time we were friends, but because of life, we've gone different directions. But A friend is someone that you share things with. Friend is someone whom you enjoy spending time with. Friend is someone who you desire and are anxious to see. But it is important that we choose our friends wisely. That we're not haphazard about the idea of who we call friend, of who it is that we reference to being our friend. I have very few friends. I know a lot of people, but I have few friends. Why? Because friendship is something that is worked upon. It is something that is developed. It is something that, you can see. I don't even know how many friends I have on Facebook. I'm periodically going through and as a newsfeed, I go on and I look at newsfeed and if something you posted comes across, I'll see it. If not, more than likely I won't. But I've gone through and I'm gradually, some of those people that I connected to from years back that we really don't know each other, we've met somewhere at some point in time, but their posts and stuff, I'm going, thanks, but unfollow, unfriend. Why? Because there are people that are on there that I really want to know what they're doing in life. I really want to know where life has taken them. I really want to know where they are. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying. But the reality is that I need to simplify the amount of things I allow into my life. And so I go through and I'm clearing some of that out because I want to know what's going on in people's life that are my friends. People that I know, people, friends of mine that are starting churches, friends of mine that are pastoring churches, friends of mine who are starting in a new career, they've had a new baby, they've all these things, and I want to know what's going on in their life. Why? Because there is a bond of mutual affection. They're the ones that I know that if my loved one were to pass away, they're going to be at my funeral. When one of our daughters gets married, or the day that Judah gets married, one of our children gets married, they're going to be at the wedding. When things happen, exciting or sad, they are there. In fact, William Arthur Ward wrote this in regards to a friend. He said, a friend is one who is not hard to find when you are penniless. Let me say that one again. This will help us pick our friends. A friend is one who is not hard to find when you are penniless. A friend is one who makes your grief less painful, your adversity more bearable. A friend is one who joyfully sings with you when you are on the mountaintop and silently walks beside you through the valley. A friend is one with whom you are comfortable, to whom you are loyal, through whom you are blessed, and for whom you are grateful. A friend is one who warms you by his presence, trusts you with his secrets, and remembers you in his prayers. A friend is one who gives you a spark of assurance when you doubt your ability to fulfill your noblest aspiration, climb your special mountain, or reach your secret goal. A friend is one who helps you bridge the gaps between loneliness, fellowship, frustration, and confidence, despair and hope, setbacks, and success. A friend is one who is available to you, understanding you, and patient with you. A friend is no less a gift from God than is a talent, no less a treasure than life itself. A friend is also someone who listens. I have one such friend. I have a few, but one that holds one of the dearest places in my life. In fact, his wife was here with us recently when Sister Mangan was here, but it's Jeff. In fact, I was going through my pictures the other day on my phone, and when my grandmother, my last living grandparent, had passed away, he came, he surprised me and showed up at the hotel as I was getting ready to go to my grandmother's funeral service, and he knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and I started crying. Because when the toughest time of life had hit, this was my last living grandparent, the one that I was closest to, the one that kept my family in clothes and things of that nature while we were in El Salvador. She passed away. I lived with her while I was in Bible college. And he showed up, and I looked at that picture, and I actually had a few tears come to my eye as I looked at that picture and remembered the significance of that moment. Of that friend standing on the other side of the door as I opened it and realized it was him. And I cried and I was grateful and joyful because he was there for me. Likewise, and I believe this is a God thing beyond anything else, his father was dying of cancer. Lloyd and I had chosen to go and spend a few days with him in Houston, Texas, where he was in the hospital at. And when we got there, we went out to dinner that night. We hung out and had a good time, and we were planning on going on that Saturday morning to visit him in the hospital. And it was early that morning we got a call that his father had passed away. But it was significant to him as it was to us that Lloyd and I were able to be with them during a tough time. See, that's what friendship is. Friendship is when people celebrate your highs and they're also there when you're at the lowest moment of your life. It's the person that's willing to go the extra mile for your life. See, friends are important. Last night, thankful for Andre being here, and he came in yesterday from Dayton and helped us in our work day and then spent the night, and we were standing there talking last night or seated in the house and we were talking, and I got to thinking, and I didn't say this to him, but I got to remember in the years past, back in 1998 or 99 when our paths crossed. He was at Bowling Green State University going to school there, and Lloyd and I would go and pick him up in our little two-door Honda Civic, and he would fold into the back seat and climb in, and we'd take off and go to church, and he would help us. And Andre was such a blessing to us then, and what he played and he sang and did such great awesome things. But looking back and seeing friendship, it's something that matters. It's something that it's important. In fact, he recently lost his grandmother. We were privileged to go and be in the service celebrating her life. But friendship, you can never replace lifelong friends. You can never replace them. I am grateful for Facebook that it's made me get in contact once again with friends. And a guy that was my closest friend growing up, we went through it good, bad, and ugly together. And we'll leave the bad and the ugly alone, but the good, yes, we'll celebrate. But we went through it and we're able to connect. So I'm able to watch his life and we're able to communicate and see what's going on with each other's lives. And it's important because friends are vital. Leslie Weatherhead, who's an English or was an English theologian and author, told a World War II story of a young soldier whose friend had been shot on the battlefield. His commanding officer knew what had happened, and before he ever even made a decision to do anything, or before he ever showed that he had made a decision, his commanding officer told him that you cannot go into the battle to retrieve your friend. It's a command. This is an order. You are not to go in there. But he ignoring this order. Don't do that, Keith. But he ignoring his CO's order chose to rush into enemy territory to rescue his friend. Reaching his friend, he placed him on his shoulder and made his way back to the place of safety. Passing through the enemy lines, he too was shot down. He was rushed to the clinic, and soon the leader of the group, his commanding officer, came into the room. He said, I told you not to go. He lamented, crying over the dying man. It was not worth it. Now you are also dying. It wasn't worth it. The young man, as he laid on this bed dying, with whatever strength he had left, he moaned these words. He says, yes, it was. It was worth it because when I reached my friend, he said, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. That's why it's important to have friends. Because there are moments in our lives when we need somebody to step into the gap. We need somebody to bridge the gap in our lives. I look across this room and many of you that sit here have gone through times of grief. And some of them I've been able to be a part of it. And I see it and I remember those times. And that I could take away the pain, the hardship, no. But to be able to be there and hold your hands, to be able to be there and pray, to be able to be there and be a part of it. It's like being at the hospital or being at a home when someone births a child. There's nothing like it to hear that first cry, to be able to hold that baby in your arms and to be able to see this child and to be a part of that. Those are the things that matter so much. So it is important for you and I to find those friends, to find those people that we are wanting and willing to go the extra mile for, even the third and the fourth and the fifth and the tenth mile for them. But John writing here says there's no greater love than for someone willing to lay down their life for someone else. Probably one of the stories of the Bible in the Old Testament that reminds us of that more than any other was Jonathan and David. They were closest of friends, so much so that they considered each other to be brothers. His father, Saul, Jonathan's father, Saul, had a hatred in his heart for David. He an issue with the walk of God or walk with God that he had. He had a problem with that, and so he was jealous and he tried to kill him. But Jonathan understood the anointing of God that was upon David. And so because of their love, because of their brotherly love, he was willing to sacrifice of his own life in order for Jonathan. But there's a story that even supersedes that. And it's a story that takes us to a manger or from a manger to a cross. Was God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ on earth, that came to give His life for you and I. That He came to sacrifice the greatest of all things to redeem you and I back to Him. To everyone that is here today, I don't know what it is that you're dealing with in life. I don't know where you find yourself at in your walk with God. I don't know if you can honestly say, or if any of us in here can say and know for sure, are we where we're supposed to be at in our walk with God? Can we stand before God in the presence of God and say, Lord, I'm right. Or maybe we're here, we're dealing with problems. Something has happened, something has come along that has drawn us away from our walk with God. Yet hopefully the thought, the knowledge of the greatest sacrifice ever done will awaken within us that desire, that importance to get back to that relationship. It's like I remember friends that I grew up with. Man, we were real close. And I long once again to reconnect, though at a different time in life and though different living styles. They may be living this way and I'm living a different way than they are. But yet I want to reconnect. I want to talk once again. I want to talk about how life is and where it's brought us to and what it's done. See, those you long for, I don't know about you, but that extended period of time that you're away from your loved ones, that you go on a trip or from your parents and you get to that moment where you're just like, man, I'm ready to be home. I'm ready to get that hug. I feel that way many times as I think, I wish my grandmother was here that I could sit down and say, hey, grandmother, you ought to see what's going on. Man, you ought to see what God's doing in our life. You ought to see the kids. And look how tall Zoe has got. And look at Bella. She's getting into everything. And Judah, man, he's most definitely all boy. He's beaten, bloodied, and all that kind of stuff. Community group. Thursday night, it was a men's only group. Not on purpose. Just it landed that way. And here comes Zoe with Judah. And Judah's got blood on his face, in his ears, on his hands. I'm going, oh, Jesus, what happened? He fell and busted his lip, and he had just had his hands in his mouth and all that stuff. And thankfully, we washed him off, and he was fine. We went back to our Bible study. But I wish for those things. I wish for those times, those moments that I could sit down with her and show her and have her come and spend time at our house and her teach us how to make jams, how to make jelly and preserves and all that kind of stuff. I wish for that, but yet I don't wish for that any more than I wish for my walk with God. I desire that. I want that. Yet I allow that desire to be moved over to a relationship that though he hung on a cross of Calvary, he was raised from the dead. And to this day, I can have a walking, talking, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that's the way for you and I is what person, what individual do you wish you could sit down and talk to right now? Now take that longing, that desire and transfer it over to the one who you can talk to and the one who can touch your life and the one who can wrap their arms around you, metaphorically speaking, and you feel that love. It was Jesus hanging upon the cross that said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Yet thankfully he didn't call upon the angels that he could have to release him from that place. But yet he submitted to the process so that you and I could call him friend. Abraham, in my studies of Scripture, factually John is the one who wrote this and made mention that Abraham was called a friend of God. He was the first one I find in Scripture that was referenced to being a friend of God. First one in that there was no one before him that was referenced in that. And I look at that and I ask myself this question. If he was called the friend of God, yet was anointed to be the father of a great nation, what would happen to you and I if we become a friend of God's? That if we become passionately in pursuit of who he is, willing to leave the things that are comfortable to us in order to gain what it is that he has for you and I, that we could call him our friend. Mike, if you would come, please. There's a song that I want to bring to our memory. And to many of us, it is a memory because we haven't sang in a long time. But it starts out like this. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Come we find a friend so faithful. Or can we find, a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows every weakness or knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. As we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright, unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 says, "And a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And this friend is not someone that walks in shoe leather in the present, but is someone who walks with us in a way unlike any other. His name is Jesus Christ. He was the lamb for sinners slain. He was the lamb slain from the foundations of the world. It was He who bore the weight of our decisions that you and I may have a life of blessing. Difficulties, yes, but yet a best friend that will always walk with us. As we all stand, please. I don't know where you find yourself at today in your life. I don't know what things there are that you are dealing with that you need His help with. Maybe you're at a place that you've sort of become a little distant to who He is. You've withdrawn from the walk you once had. You've laid aside that cross you once carried. It's because of life, because of things going on. You wonder, God, why did you allow these things to happen? Why is it that I lost my job? Why is it that my family's behaving the way they are? Why is it we got the report we got? And all those kind of things. Because when we face those kind of things, a lot of times the thing we should do the most, which is pray and turn towards God, many times becomes the last thing we do. We'd rather pick up the phone and talk to somebody. We'd rather post it on Facebook then stop and talk to Him. Say, God, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee every hour. We instead of doing that, we go the opposite direction. Why, God? Why is this happening? Why are they doing this? Why? And all we do by doing that, it's Brother Tenney has said it many times, when you and I whine and complain, all we're doing is letting the enemy know that we're in his neighborhood. Or we welcome him into ours. Versus, you know what? Yeah, it's miserable right now, but God. Lord, I'm going through a difficulty, but I'm trusting in you. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I believe in you. I know you're going to be there. He says, cast your cares upon me. Because I care. If we would all bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, today as we celebrate Friends Day here at Chapel, thank you for all of our friends.